And good morning. It is the first Wednesday. In fact, it's the first day, but it's also the first Wednesday of the month. Chad Byrd is the city manager of the city of Burlington. He is joining me. We talk city business, and we talk about things that are on the agenda, things that are planned, things that are going to be things that are happening right now. One thing, Chad, as I was looking out, I looked at the river stage. We're at 14.9 as we are talking today, and thinking about if you would have been at 14, I'm not sure what exactly the stage is, but the stage you have to bring HESCO barriers. Would have had to bring HESCO barriers out.
Yeah, and don't talk about that, Steve.
But we have a considerably different situation now.
We do.
Yes, HESCO barriers. If we do have serious, if we have a significant river rise, well above flood stage, yes, then HESCO barriers have to be used in certain places. But it has by not having to set them up, it's a blessing for staff. I'm guessing also a blessing for budget, isn't it?
It is. You know, the HESCOs, you know, they're a great product, but they do require a lot of man hours to set up. Of course, there's sand. You know, we have to fill them with sand. And that sand can't be reused according to DNR rules and regulations. Once it's touched river water, it's considered contaminated, so we have to dispose of it as a contaminated product, so we waste that. So they can be expensive.
And one other thing about them, as we have found out, is that they will not last forever.
But not forever. They are not foolproof.
If there is a water pressure on those things for a continuous period of time, they're going to fail.
Yeah. Well, and you know, water is one of the most powerful elements, you know, in nature, and so yeah, if you start to get a little leak, you know how powerful water can be, and even on HESCOs. But that's where we're fortunate to have the flood wall. You know, it buys us several more feet in terms of our first action stage. We're at just under 15 feet now. You know, we don't really start sweating things now. Of course, it's unproven, and that's okay. We'd like it to be unproven. But, you know, Nick and his team won't really need to start doing anything until maybe 18 feet or something like that.
And and when you get to that point you're dealing with, and I think what has happened is we've had a major flood in 1965. That was the big flood. 1993 was the second of the 500
years. 500 years, yeah.
You know, these 500 years.
Yeah. Then 08.
And then in 08 was the granddaddy or whatever of them all. But, you know, using the term 500-year flood means, it just means that there's a percentage every year that a 500-year flood could happen 2 years in a row. It's just a matter of, you know, it's like winning the lottery or losing the lottery, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah, a 100-year, I think, is a 1% chance, and a 500-year is a 2% chance kind of thing.
So. In other words, it's supposed to happen but the other thing is, as we have seen development along the river, and there's no dredging anymore on the river. Mm-hmm. So as the river's not dredged, silt and all of that stuff builds up, and that raises the water level a certain amount. Mm-hmm. And so you also have, and then the development along the river compresses the area between.
That's really the key for any river, let alone the Mississippi. But, you know, even in the city I previously served, we saw that, you know, on the upper Iowa levee system just continues to crunch in and encroach, and water needs to go somewhere, and if it can't go out, it's going to go up.
The upper Iowa River, by the way, is the seventh. Did you know that it's the seventh fastest river in the United States?
Fastest? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, it doesn't. And when it's in its lowest levels, it's like a pond or whatever.
August, you can just walk
it. It's a waiting pond.
It's a waiting pool. That's right.
But if you have heavy spring rains, you have whitewater rapids.
Yeah,
and
you do.
It's the number one tubing river in the United States, and also among the top five canoeing rivers in the United States.
Well, and a lot of that is, I mean, just the water levels that we talked about, but the scenery is amazing too. You get the bluffs.
It's the only other place you can see Pulpit Rock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pulpit Rock, of course, in fact, I was going to go back when we had the pandemic. I was going to go to, and actually do a, we had a shore excursion to Pulpit Rock.
Yeah.
On our ship going around Norway, but that never happened. Never mind.
The real Pulpit Rock.
The real.
But you know, there were a lot of boats out this weekend, and despite the river being up just a little bit, I think folks had a great time out on the water. It was certainly beautiful weather for folks to be out there.
You know, and I think that's something you tend to maybe underestimate. You get sort of maybe blasé about the Mississippi River, but it really is a resource, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we have the islands out there with some of the camping or cabins, and then people do out there. That's unique, too. Right?
All right. Tourism, obviously, that's a very important part of anything. And right now we're in one of the two seasons. There are only two seasons here, the same as in Minnesota and in Decorah. That is called winter and road construction.
Winter and road construction.
We are in the road construction phase,
yep.
And the street construction phase. The Tiger Grant is continuing on and slowly ebbing its way down Jefferson Street. And also we've got construction going on at the riverfront. That means they're doing... And so far, they're encouraging parking in the back. They've been running a shuttle service. City has been running a shuttle service.
Yeah, and I think that's gone well. I think it's been well received. You know, we'd like to get the word out a little more. And we, you know, Nick and his crew and Alan in transit run that shuttle for all the special events. We'd like to continue and keep that going. We just need more people to know about it. I've used it a couple of times for some civic music events. You think about it, I park at Valley and Fifth.
Yes.
By the fire station, and it's just easy in, easy out. You get on the shuttle bus, it drives you down three or four blocks, drops you right at the door.
The shuttle was running this past weekend.
It ran Friday night and Saturday morning. It did.
For the bike races, yep. So that businesses businesses right in this building,
yeah, right, yeah,
one above
yeah.
us. Could keep going and that sort of thing. And I think the fact that Tiger Grant, how long? I said ebbing. It does seem to be ebbing its way down Jefferson. How long is this project going to take?
Well, the riverfront work should really be wrapping up by the end of this construction season. We will expect some of the final pieces of Main Street and the east end of Jefferson Street to go into next spring. Spring of 23. Of course, there's always that final grading and seeding and, you know, landscape planting and things like that that take longer. And, of course, we have to be sensitive to growing seasons. You can't plant trees in the middle of August,
right,
or even grass in the middle of August and things like that. So, we should see the riverfront work wrap up this year and then everything else tie up next spring.
And the riverfront work, as far as basically there'll be more green space than we have had. A splash pad is part of this. I don't think I'm going to plan on using the splash pad a lot.
Oh, come on now. You can take your shoes off and wade through the water, right, on a nice Friday afternoon.
Where is the splash pad located?
It's more so as you're just looking east, it's a little bit south and east of the front of the auditorium,
okay,
if you will, so kind of in that corner.
Okay, so you've got... and otherwise, green space, and there will be parking, but there'll be less parking.
Be a little bit less parking, I think, over the course of all three phases. You know, we're losing somewhere around 15, 20 spaces, something like that. But, you know, we're already looking at ways to recoup some of that.
The north and south boat ramps, how do they,
yep,
are they being affected by this as well?
So the north boat ramp right now, we've pulled out the pilings for what's called the Schrader docks. Those were donated by the Schrader family. Those pilings were pulled out because they were damaged by an ice blockage a couple of years ago. We expect those back in sometime this month, June. Now that it's June, we'll expect new pilings in and then those docks put back in. That'll be the extent of the work on the north,
okay,
side. The south side has a new ramp. It's a wider, longer ramp, and it took care of some issues. I think that I wasn't here, but I understood we had maybe four small ramps on the south side before, but a couple of them maybe weren't usable because they had erosion,
right,
under the surface of the water that created the drop-off situation. So this ramp is wider. It's three wide at least, I think.
Okay.
And it's longer.
For larger boats and that sort of thing.
Larger boats are more, so you could have, you know, three or four side by sides. But it's also longer, so it goes out into the river longer.
And
you know, further distance.
And you're anticipating that to be done by the end of this, construction
season?
Should
be done by the end of this construction season. You know, right now, though, Steve, what's really tying us up, and this is the same with some FEMA erosion control work on the north as we head north along the park, is the river level itself. The Army Corps doesn't allow us, based on our permit, for placing riprap along the shore to work at levels above 10 feet.
Okay.
So as we go north with that riprap work, we have to wait until the river gets 10 feet or below. On the south side with the ramp and those pilings that are in there and the work that's remaining to be done, we need to see it at 12 feet or less to do that work down there.
Now, the Tiger Grant also does go up a certain – how far does the Tiger Grant go up Main Street?
Up to Angular.
Okay.
Yep, and they're just about done with the storm and sanitary work that's in there. That's getting tied up, and then they'll start with the concrete surfacing and new sidewalks and bike trail.
Now, the bike trail will go, is that where the bike trail will end at Angular?
That'll also end at Angular, and then it's projected, depending on what we do with, we have some more sewer separation work to do along South Main Street, and then, of course, whatever happens with Cascade Bridge, we'll be able to continue that bike trail up along South Main and across the bridge and into the park.
Now, is the bike trail on the right side or left side?
It'll be on the right side, left side.
Excuse
west,
me,
west side.
As
yeah,
I'm going as you're going up Main Street.
Yeah, I think it'll be on the west side.
Okay.
So,
and that will be when will that the, that's not going to be done this construction season, is that right?
To Angular, that'll
oh,
be
do,
done.
Oh, you do anticipate that. Okay.
Or again, some final cleanup and tying ends together in the spring.
Okay. We're talking about, I think we're talking a little bit about, fact is that we do have a sewer separation project, and you're trying to combine sewer separation with, you know, rainwater or wastewater sewer separation. That project is I'm not going to say it's a forever project, but it kind of is.
It kind of is.
Okay.
We've got so many projects lined up out there and some pretty substantial ones that when you look at our list, as negotiated and worked with the DNR and the EPA, you know, it's about 40 years worth of projects, and 130, $140 million worth of work.
Now we're seeing increases in, obviously there's going to be an increase in water bills. I know it goes for me. It's always my August bill. That's when I see the next year's,
right.
And the other question I had was, as we look at inflation and we look at, I don't know how much the inflation rate is affecting area projects or city budget in general. Is it affecting it?
Yeah, it is, and it will. You know, a lot of these projects, like the Tiger Project and that, you know, those were bid and let in July of last year, so almost a year ago. So a lot of the projects we're doing right now were bid and let when, you know, pre-inflationary numbers, right? While we still saw some impacts of COVID, probably more related to supply chain, we did see some price increases related to the pandemic. But, yeah, I'm fearful for next summer's projects. Of course, Tiger's going to be locked in until it's done now, right? But the next projects that we start to bid and let, I know will have inflationary factors in them.
Well, I guess inflation is pretty hard to escape no matter what. I think I asked the last time, as inflation continues to, well, let's say it just continues to stay with us, you have, I believe, three-year contracts for city workers, is that right?
Actually, our current bargaining union agreement is for 5 years.
Well, 5 years, okay.
Yeah, and we're a year and a half into that,
okay.
Or almost 2 years into that.
But there's no clause that at a certain inflation point that you can open that.
No.
Is that right?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good for the city.
Well, yeah. It's, you know, there's a couple of ways to look at it. You know, what kind of if we don't open it, and I'm not advocating that we
no.
do, what kind of market adjustments would we see the next time we negotiate through? So, yeah, it remains to be seen.
We also talked about the supply chain and also about particularly trying to I guess what replace vehicles within the city.
Yeah, it's been tough.
It's you're still in a no man's land, is that right?
It's tough just to get them, right?
Yeah.
You know, we've got solid waste vehicles, you know, a year or two out. We've got a fire truck that's a year or two out.
But you've got a chassis that you got.
We got a chassis that you're trying to order. We've been dumped off a list twice to get just a regular pickup. They just told us, we'll put you on the 22 model year, and then they said, nah, we're not even going to sell you one. because they can make more money selling them on the open market than they can, you know, state bid type.
Well, and that's got to be the. But you're facing.
It's hard, right? And we need trucks too.
You're facing the same. Everybody in the state, everybody in the country, probably facing basically the same situation.
That's right.
And also, I know that we had police vehicles. I know new police cars. New ambulances, any vehicle that you would use.
A little anecdotal story. I talked with one of my colleagues in another city, and just like us, when they replace an ambulance in this case, they sell the old ambulance on auction, and they usually get, you know, $6,000-$8,000 for them, right? And
right.
At this point, they're 10, 15 years old, and they've been kind of run through the paces. They just sold one in that same situation and environment for $50,000.
Okay.
So that just kind of tells you what the market's like
out there,
right?
In other words, you've got other cities that are now going to your auctions
to start looking for what, you know, others are getting rid of. So.
All right. We're going to talk more. We've got a break for news. Chad Bird is our guest. We're talking city business. We'll talk budget, and we'll talk more about that and also some of the projects that are on the way. We'll have that after this.
Well, what shall we talk about?
You're listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Take a listen to what Sean Mark said.
You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, and be available.
Did you guys hear the code words in there? Available, selfless, playing for each other. Not really how Kyrie has rolled.
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
2 to 5 weekdays on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Because we get White Hot Ranch Nacho Fries every day at Taco Bell.
Yeah, every day is the same. Watch this. Bite, yell, honk.
We're living in a time loop.
Feast on the new White Hot Ranch Nacho Fries day after day. Grilled steak loaded on seasoned fries topped with warm nacho cheese sauce and the new White Hot Ranch.
Same bite.
Different day. Here comes the bong sound.
And participating U.S. Taco Bell locations for a limited time only. Contact local store for prices, hours, and participation which vary.
Today on Hey Culligan, sustainability and better water. Here's Sam.
Hey Culligan, I'm really into sustainability. My clothes, my utensils, my food. But how do I get more sustainability from my water?
Super question, Sam. And the answer is an always-on drinking water system from Culligan, which helps eliminate the equivalent of 15 billion single-use plastic bottles a year.
Whoa, that's a ton of sustainability.
416,000 tons, Sam, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Are you ready to start planning your next vacation? With Cape Air, direct flights to St. Louis or Chicago O'Hare are affordable and convenient from Southeast Iowa Regional Airport in Burlington. Flights start at just $39 each way to St. Louis and $49 each way to Chicago O'Hare, and parking at the Burlington Airport is free. With Cape Air, your journey will be as enjoyable as your destination. Book your next trip at capeair.com.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. A Des Moines County jury has found a Burlington man guilty of first-degree murder. The Hawkeye reports that the jury, after about a half hour of deliberations, found Kevin Rashawn Lee, who was representing himself, guilty of first-degree murder in the shooting death of Riley Smith Hanna of Burlington. The verdict came after 5 days of testimony, which came to an end Tuesday afternoon. The Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center Auxiliary has donated $26,850 to Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center. The money will help fund multiple projects that enhance patient and family experiences, including elder activities at the Klein Center, keepsake items for families of hospice patients, art and music therapy for the Behavioral Health Unit, books and activities for the Pediatrics Unit, oxygen tank holders for wheelchairs, plants and flowers for indoor and outdoor planters, art for the cafeteria and corridors on the Fort Madison campus, electricity for the auxiliary-funded Lakeside Shelter House near the Klein Center, swaddling sleep sacks for newborns, donor breast milk for newborns who need it, and supplies to make comfort pillows for patients who have had surgery. A Keokuk man has been arrested following a bank robbery in April. TV station WGEM reports that Keokuk police arrested 37-year-old Casey Alexander Young on Wednesday, May 26th, in Keokuk. Young has been charged with first-degree robbery. According to police, evidence linking Young to the April 26th robbery at Two Rivers Bank at 115 Boulevard was located while police were carrying out multiple search warrants. A 13-year-old from eastern Iowa has made it through the first three rounds of the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Radio Iowa's Oka Henderson reports.
Edith Dawson just finished eighth grade in Mount Vernon. She correctly spelled the word for the Korean alphabet in the opening round of the National Spelling Bee. In the second round, she was asked to give another word that means hackneyed. She correctly answered trite. In the third round, Dawson spelled tutelary, and she will be among the spellers in today's quarterfinals.
From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
I'm Lillian Wu. The Labor Department's just revealed the number of unfilled jobs in the country for April. The JOLTS report showing openings.
Right at estimates, 11.4 million jobs have been unfilled. Quits were little changed at 4.4 million, while layoffs and discharges edged down a little bit at 1.2 million.
That's Fox's Edward Lawrence. Number of workers who quit their jobs reached a record 4.5 million in March. In Southern California, water restrictions start today.
In Los Angeles, residents are only going to be allowed to water their lawns twice a week, and it has to be done before 9 a.m. or after 4 p.m. The city's conservation response unit will be enforcing the rules, handing out fines up to $600 for repeat offenders.
Fox's Jill Nato. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Continued mostly cloudy through the day. A high this afternoon, 72 degrees, mostly cloudy tonight. A 40% chance of a shower, low down to 55. Should be sunny Thursday, high to 75. And then clear Thursday night, low to 54. Sunny Friday, 78. Mostly clear Friday night, down to 57. And Saturday, mostly sunny, 79. Sunday, partly sunny, a 40% chance of showers and a high of 80. And right now, still cloudy skies, 63 degrees.
Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Happy first day of June trading. Stocks are aiming at gains on Wall Street this morning. May was little changed for the Dow and the S&P. The NASDAQ was down 2%. Delta Airlines raised its revenue forecast because of high demand from flyers and higher airfares. Mortgage demand has fallen to the lowest level since the end of 2018. Even though interest rates ticked lower last week, the Mortgage Bankers Association says the average rate on a 30-year fixed home loan fell from nearly 5.5% to 5.3%. The Fed will allow some of the trillions of dollars worth of treasuries and other bonds it amassed in the pandemic to roll off its balance sheet today. It's one way it's trying to fight inflation by slowing the U.S. economy. Gunmaker Glock sued by a shooting victim in New York. The state allows victims of gun violence to sue gun makers, distributors, and retailers. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel. Me llamo Sean.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language. Like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right. And they're designed by real language teachers, so you learn how to have real-world conversations, things you'll actually use.
3 weeks. It's incredible. After 3 weeks, I'm on vacation in Paris, having a conversation in French.
There's all kinds of ways to learn. Use Babbel's podcasts or games or videos. You can even join live classes with a language teacher.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Babbel. Évidemment.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
When your equipment breaks down, everything comes to a screeching halt. I'm Max from Danville State Savings Bank.
In spite of all your planning, sometimes a machine that was supposed to last 2 more years just falls apart. When that happens, give me a call. With your good credit, we can upgrade your old and rusty to a new and trusty. Danville State Savings Bank goes the extra mile for Iowa farmers and business owners. At Danville State Savings Bank, we are ready when you are. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you have osteoporosis? DEXA knows. A DEXA scan uses low-dose x-rays to detect bone loss. It helps predict the risk for fractures, especially hip fractures. A DEXA scan is recommended for all women age 65 and older. It can be beneficial for younger women who have risk factors for osteoporosis. Ask your healthcare provider about ordering a DEXA scan at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center in Fort Madison, West Burlington, or the Keokuk Clinic. Visit greatriverhealth.org for more information.
Save big on your next project with 11% off everything now at Menards. Upgrade the security in your home with a classic deadbolt lock set from Atlas. The home security kit comes with 2 combination lock sets, and it's available in 4 finish options. Right now, only $24.99 after 11% off at Menards. Good through June 5th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
When there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain in effect.
On air and online.
I always know it's going to be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And welcome back on the talk show. Chad Bird is the city manager of the city of Burlington. We were talking about inflation. We're talking about how the impact of that. We're talking about the supply chain issues that have caused some problems. We're also talking about the fact that we had one of the key things is the price of gas, price of diesel oil. Diesel oil is up. It's double what it was 2 years ago, more than double, and the price of gas is more than double what it was 2 years ago when we were in the height of the pandemic. I think we got used to those sorts of things, and what we also found is that the number of truck drivers that are out there, these are the big rig truck drivers, that figure dropped 75,000.
Yeah.
And it has not come back.
And, you know, we were just talking, Steve, off air about the labor, you know, crisis in many different sectors.
We were talking about the fact that airlines.
Yeah, and with Cape Air, there, you know, issues with pilots and.
Well, the issue really is the fact that if you are an experienced pilot and you're flying for Cape Air and you've got your hours in.
You're going up the food chain.
You're going to continue on up because all of the major airlines, they're facing the same type of situation.
Yeah, and they have the resources to expend more money to attract or provide incentives. You know, we're looking at trying to do those things here. And, you know, I think there's a group that would love to offer some localized incentives for pilots to fly for Cape Air. But the challenge is still identifying that pool of pilots with the required hours.
They have to get, 1,500 hours?
1,500 hours,
And that is, you really cannot overestimate the vital nature of having air service in your community.
Right. It's very important to just broad economic development in our community. You know, private aviation, corporate, flying and that, it's a reality. And so many large companies, you know, time is money for them. And so if they can, you know, send somebody from here to Houston and back in a day, that's a big deal. And so having that aviation available for the corporate sector and just general economic development is very important. Of course, we all appreciate it even at the consumer level.
Right.
Because it's a convenience and a quality of life issue for us as well. But there's so many factors of our economy that it impacts.
Again, we were talking about supply chain issues, and we did talk about the fact is vehicles. I don't know what other factors or what other things what other items are being affected by supply chain issues. I know vehicles are, and I know materials are to some degree.
Materials, and specifically we see it on the chemical side. We talked last month about even just chlorine. or some of the chemicals that we use to treat either the water or the wastewater, those prices have increased significantly. We see it probably manifest mostly right now because of the Tiger Project and steel prices. Our streetlights and signs and rebar and those types of things. We've seen big increases there, too.
And one of the things, the bottom line is still the bottom line, and that is city budget. So how does a city budget handle inflation that we've been seeing?
Yeah, it's tough. So, I would stress the importance of building up reserve accounts for situations like this. And if they become more protracted longer, we see more sustained inflation or something like that, then it's really going to impact the level of services that we provide. So it might mean, one less thing that we do, one less service that we provide, those types of things.
You're not reopening the budget to come in because the budget will be basically budget starts what, July 1st?
July 1st. So we have a month to go in this budget. We do a thing called a budget amendment. So anytime we spend over a program area in the budget, we have to amend that, and we have to state where we're receiving those revenues to account for that expenditure, that overspending. And again, a lot of times it's grants. We see grant dollars come in mid-year that we hadn't counted on, or we're using the reserve account, for some activities and things like that.
So. Well, I don't know how long or I guess the question is, in other words, the longer you go with a situation, which is sort of an uncertain situation, the more the reserve account goes down. Is that right?
It does, yeah. Or, again, we start looking at reducing services to make that match.
Have you had to reduce services in any areas?
Not really. I mean, all our department heads do a great job of being mindful to the budget. So, they may delay purchases, delay maintenance if we can. That's hard. I mean, sometimes you just need to fix something or have something, operational. But they're all very mindful of the budget, especially this time of year as we roll into the last month of the year.
As you're looking ahead to projections, and how do you make a projection when you're dealing with an uncertainty like we're in?
It's very difficult, and we've talked before, too, Steve, about how even just the city budget planning process starts about 18 months before the budget actually. So, we were dealing with this one back in, November, December of 21, here we are, So that gets difficult. Nobody has a crystal ball. You can't see 8% inflation when you're going through budget planning processes. So,
the inflation rate, some people are saying, the projected inflation, wait a minute now. They say 8%.
It depends on what numbers you look at, right, or what time frame.
Here's the problem is CPA, Consumer Price Index.
Right.
Or CPI, excuse me.
Yeah.
This Consumer Price Index excludes food and energy.
Exactly, which are probably the two biggest things.
One of the most expensive things you have that you're dealing with right now,
food and
energy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It may seem to be logical, but it's not logical in terms of the individual household budget, is it?
It from that standpoint, it's the headline number, right? So you have to be practical and you look at the real costs, right?
We've got the Iowa legislature, I think, led the way in terms of this 15% ethanol requirement at all gas stations in Iowa would have 15% E15 or whatever.
I think it's E15.
And that I believe most of the stations and most of the states are also passing that. I don't know how that affects the price of gas or how. Does the city have vehicles that use E85 or do they have vehicles?
We're moving in that direction. Certainly the E15 and the E85. There is a state law that says public vehicles need to use it. If they're that type of vehicle, right? So we do when we can. Of course, we have some vehicles that don't, or they're diesel or, something like that.
You've got the Harrison Street project. How close are you to finishing that up?
Yeah, there's still a little ways to go on that one yet. And the last section of that, even later this fall, will be the intersection of Harrison and Summer, that little hump there at that intersection. That'll get redone, too. But that'll be later this fall. So that'll all this construction season at least.
Okay. Is there any other major other? You got a Tiger. I mean, I'm guessing.
Isn't that enough?
Is that pretty much? Does that sum
up? Those are the big ones. Yeah, we got some. You know, we did a seal coating project. We have a sewer lining project that we're doing. You know, there's some sidewalk work. All those little things we keep doing.
But those are all projects that are sort of on it to be done as funds are available.
As funds are available, and we kind of look at a small project every year like that. So, for example, the seal coating, right?
Okay.
We'll try to do something like that
every year. How often do you seal coat a street, do you know?
You know, it kind of depends on the street. Some of the lesser residential streets, you can get, you know, a good 5, 6, 8 years out of something like that. So
I know, we have concrete streets in my neighborhood, but concrete lasts obviously a lot longer than they...
Yeah, right now it's the preferred material. It's a little more expensive out of the gate, but it lasts you maybe twice as long.
So so street projects, and I did notice that, was there any change in your spring cleanup because of the pandemic?
We saw more items, more quantity, more tonnage out there. Now that just wrapped up, so we don't have all the numbers in yet, but it did, and I did spend a day out with the crew, the solid waste crew, and one of those days was a spring cleanup day. There's a lot of material out there.
And that's a lot of manpower to pick up all of that stuff, too.
You know, and
it?
That's one of those things, too, where, you know, you talk about fuel prices and that. That's a service that we can't really – how do you reduce trash collection? I mean, I suppose you could skip a week, but for some people that just doesn't work, right,
yeah.
In terms of – the amount of stuff they discard, but you know, we have to run that service every day of the week, regardless of weather or fuel prices or, you know, staff resources. So those guys in that department work hard, and we appreciate what they do.
We're going to take a break. We've got Chad Bird with us, and we will be back right after this.
And now,
the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
If I'm Philly, you might have to just look in the mirror and say, do we have the right coach, and do we need to bring back James Harden? But when you don't score and you don't force the issue...
Hot take.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Here we go.
All the firemen are running out. What's going on? There's hot takes next door.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Accommodating. In a word, that's Prue Funeral Service. The caring staff at Prue Funeral specialize in accommodating your needs and your wishes. Prue Funeral Service offers a modern facility that can accommodate up to 400 people with convenient parking. We can accommodate every aspect of your service on-site, including the funeral luncheon. Stop by for a tour and to meet the staff and see why accommodation so often leads to recommendation of our services. Prue Funeral Service. A tradition of caring.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
Don't miss June's $25,000 prize capsule giveaway promotion at Catfish Bend Casino. Win your share of $25,000 in prizes. Four drawings every Friday at 7, 7:30, 8, and 8:30 p.m. Five winners at every drawing. Earn one entry for every 50 points earned daily. Five times entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. See player services for details. Come on out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino inside the Fun City Resort. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Shelton Fireworks, the world's largest fireworks store. Party with a big bang, heart-racing excitement. A short drive south of Mount Pleasant on the Avenue of the Saints to Highway 27 at the Missouri state line. Shelton's, selling fireworks for over 40 years. The loudest, most spectacular fireworks on earth. Save up to 60% on the largest selection of fireworks in Missouri. Head to St. Francisville, Missouri. Only 40 miles south of Mount Pleasant on the Avenue of the Saints to the Missouri state line. SheltonFireworks.com, home of the big ones.
Welcome back on the talk show. Chad Byrne is with us. We've talked about all the things that are going on, some of the things that aren't so good, some of the things that are good. But there are some very good things that are going on. And I think downtown, I know you had just a couple of weeks ago, you had a basically showing off possibilities for businesses, new business in downtown. And we're seeing more new businesses. It's exactly what seems to happen anytime you. I'm not saying it's a boom situation, but we've got more housing going in downtown. We've got more businesses downtown. The downtown is we've got three restaurants and two grocery stores have all come in the last year.
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. And, of course, Amy and her team at Downtown Partners Main Street, they held that economic development open showcase, I think that you were talking about there, and looked at a lot of vacant buildings downtown and discussed the possibilities, right? And I think they got some pretty good leads off that. So those kinds of things are great to see, and there's great interest in being downtown, and that's exciting.
We're talking about also refurbishing housing or improving housing overall, getting some of the dilapidated housing, some of these abandoned buildings and things like that. Those houses that should be, is there an incentive program within the city?
There is. Actually, at the next work session and council meeting cycle, we'll talk about amending that and upgrading our residential abatement program a little bit, which includes incentives for not only new construction but also improving existing construction. And so we'll be talking about that through the next council meeting cycle. It's also interesting to note that there's a housing task force through the Greater Burlington Partnership that's looking at a housing study, and those surveys will be coming out. We would ask anybody that's a stakeholder in the housing industry, and that includes people that live in a house, right? So we encourage you to fill out that survey. Tell us what your thoughts are on all of these types of things. Should we do incentives? Should we do more incentives? What type of housing do we need? All those things will be part of that survey.
Now, it all boils down to what is your property tax levy going to be for the city? The greater the quality of housing you have, the higher the more value, the higher the tax base, and the less the levy, right?
That's right. That's right. It's all about growing that tax base.
And for example, how does the levy in Burlington compare? You've obviously worked most recently in Decorah. How does that compare?
We're about a dollar or two higher here, but we also have a little more debt than Decorah has or had.
Okay.
Right? So that's about the key difference. It's interesting to note, too, as we work through the budget process and we look at our comparables, Burlington has one of the lowest total value taxable valuations of our cohorts. That's any city over 20,000. We have one of the lowest tax bases, but our levy rate, our city only levy rate, is about middle of the pack. So we're about average, which means we're getting a lot out of our dollar.
Okay, you're using money efficiently, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's good
to
know.
But it also tells us that we'd like to grow our tax base, right?
And also,
make that even more
impactful. If you want to do more things, you have to have more tax base, right?
That's right.
All right. That's the bottom line. I think we did. I know we've always, people have sort of harassed me a bit about talking about, the bridge, over the park bridge, and basically Ripley Cascade Bridge. And the fact is, it was built in 1896.
It's kind of old.
And yes, where do we stand? Is there anything being done on that?
Oh yeah, we're doing an awful lot of behind the scenes work. We just initiated, or actually even are starting to wrap up, the environmental and archaeological reviews. Of course, those are assessments or studies that are required by the federal government. And state-level historic preservation folks, when we use state and federal monies, which we want to do, and we're continuing to apply or seek out opportunities to apply for more state and federal money, we continue to move that. Right now, it's still slated for a fiscal 26 time slot. So,
that is also based on, well, fiscal 26. Okay, I'm trying to think. What is fiscal 26 begins on the in
July 1 of 25.
Okay, right.
Through June of 26.
Okay.
Right? So still a couple years out there.
But in terms of replace, but you don't have an idea what sort of bridge would it be, is that right?
We have some ideas. There were some studies done a couple of years ago with some design elements and options with some price estimates on there. Engineer's opinion of cost is what we call it. So there's some ideas floating, but we need to get through these environmental and archaeological and studies done first.
But you're not looking at basically reconstructing or doing a basically utilizing the same type of bridge. Is that right?
That's really not an option. It's not economical. It's probably not even safe without significant expense and work.
You're looking at mainly a concrete bridge, a standard concrete bridge?
Maybe not necessarily. You know, I think the material is yet to be determined, but it would be a new bridge.
Okay.
Right?
So. And a bridge also is part of the Great River Road, is that right?
It is, and American Scenic Byway.
Okay, so you got... Well, two.
It's a big deal. That's a big deal.
You did get a grant. You got a grant, from the DOT, is that right?
We got from the Iowa DOT through their bridge fund. We did secure and sign on to $1 million. That's pretty much available, as funds are available for any city with bridge
needs.
Now,
you did get a small grant, I believe, from the Great River Road. Is that right?
We continue to work through those processes.
Okay, so that's still
in the works.
So they were proposing, or there was a proposal on that.
Yep.
As you look through the summer, as you look through one of the things we were talking about is recreation. What sort of things? Quality of life. Quality of life, obviously, is what sort of recreation. We've got Burlington Bees baseball opening tonight.
Opens tonight, yeah. That'll be great. Looks like the weather maybe is going to hold, so that'll be good. The day camp starts in the park. That's good. We had a little setback with the pool. We had an issue with the liner in there.
Band concerts begin this coming weekend.
Band concerts start up, so.
Let's see. We've got three really nice golf courses, including one owned by the city.
One owned by the city that is beautiful, and it's ready to go.
And what is amazing about that is that they've been able to do what they've been able to do to convert that from what it was to what it is.
I think we
had some fatter years in the past, but
Brad and his crew out there do a great job. It's a wonderful course.
And again, and I know that the Recplex... the Recplex is continuing to thrive, and I know the bubble is proving to be a godsend for those when rain and other things come in or cold weather.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a great example of a public-private partnership, right? With the bubble, the turf being somewhat privately owned or not city owned anyway, right? And then the Recplex being city owned, the way they can collaborate and share based on weather or event size and that type of thing.
Anyway, we're talking with Chad Byrne about it. Those sorts of things that are going on in the city, as you look immediately on the agenda, what do you have at the agenda coming up in the next few meetings?
You know, we'll just keep working through Tiger. That consumes a lot of our time right now. It really does, Steve.
It's just
a big one.
You could say the Tiger eats a lot of your time.
Yeah, it does, right? So it just keeps roaring.
It is roaring away. Time to say sayonara
Steve,
to the Tiger
and
to Chad Byrne. Have a great month of June, and we'll be back in July
All right, very
with
good.
More, hopefully even better news in July. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.